It began with Peepo. Here's a little baby, 1, 2, 3. Stands in his cot, what does he see? My son, as a toddler, was obsessed with that book. It's a child's eye view of a day in the life of the Second World War, where, against a backdrop of gas mask box slung over a bed knob, barrage balloon floating over the rooftops, bombed out building in the distance, quotidian life goes on. His sisters squabble, search for a jam jar to take to the pond. His mother washes windows and does ironing. His father, home on leave perhaps, and poignantly dressed in a uniform by the end, gives him a bath in a tin tub by the fire. The signs of the Blitz are all around us where we live in East London. The infill houses where the Victorian and warehouse buildings were pulverised. But I started to think about the Belfast Blitz, about which I knew next to nothing, apart from the fact that there had been one. It was not something we learned about in school, nor that featured in many Belfast set books I'd read, with the exception of Joan Lingard's The File on Fräulein Berg, about schoolgirls convinced their German teacher, in reality a Jewish refugee, is a Nazi spy, and Brian Moore's searing, semi-autobiographical The Emperor of Ice Cream, which draws on the author's experiences of being an ARP warden. But the Belfast Blitz, which consisted of 4 aerial raids over the course of April to May 1941, caused some of the worst devastation, the most casualties of any bombardments anywhere in the whole of World War II. After the final May raids, known colloquially as the fire raids, a Luftwaffe radio operator said, "We stared silently into a sea of flames, such as none of us had ever seen before. One would not believe it." My grandma, Claire Caldwell, who would have been 21 then, died before I could ask her about the Blitz. My dad remembers his uncle's stories of running up Cave Hill to look for shrapnel from a crashed aeroplane, and other family friends, when I asked them, remembered incendiary bombs falling into the yard, or the women seizing their shawls and baskets when word went round that Turner's greengrocer had oranges in, or playing shop themselves in air raid shelters. And I realised this. Although the Belfast Blitz is an undertold chapter in the fiction of my city, in this year of its 80th anniversary, it still exists within living memory, just about. I didn't yet know that I was writing a novel, or laying the groundwork for one. But over the autumn of 2019 and the early part of 2020, my interest in the Belfast Blitz really began to solidify. I was reading Jonathan Barden's books, working my way through Brian Barton's magisterial The Belfast Blitz, The City in the War Years, ferociously annotating Stephen Dowd's book of eyewitness and oral history, trawling forums and online archives, poring over old maps of the pre- and post-war city. After war was declared in September 1939, London was on high alert for imminent aerial raids, which did not come for a full year. This gave Belfast a false sense of security. Though so much wartime industry was centred there, most believed the city was beyond the range of the Luftwaffe's navigation systems or would come under neutral era's cloak of protection. Even as the war came closer, they did not think in Belfast it would ever happen to them, or at least not badly. In my present day, this was the time, of course, that the strange new Wuhan flu reached Europe. And even as we saw horrific footage from lockdown Italy, despairing pleas on social media, we hoped that it couldn't, wouldn't be like that here. But as it reached our shores, this thing so feared and dreaded, this thing we were so underprepared for, a window seemed to open for me between worlds. Our April to May and theirs. Idle, pompous talk about the spirit of the Blitz was everywhere. But I did start to feel a correlation between our battened down time and theirs. What struck me most poignantly about the diaries I read, the memories of the people I spoke to, was the oddness of the delights the Blitz had unexpectedly brought. The acts of resilience, the fortitude. To write a historical novel means to make the past anew, to bring it to life, to relive it. It became the work of my days, my weeks, to plot a course through the horrors, not stinting on the cruelty, the meaninglessness of them, but showing how people survived, how, in even the most desperate of circumstances, life goes on. No one who lived through that time, or this, remains unchanged. But you don't get another chance to turn, say, 15, or 21, or 6. You don't get another chance to have your first baby, or your first kiss. You make the most of what you have. And of course, even when writing the past, you're writing the present too. I often wonder what my son, now 6, will remember of all this. I asked him this morning about that first lockdown. London smelled like Belfast, he said. And he was right, it did. With far fewer cars on the streets, the air on our inner city balcony was soft and fresh. We all clapped on our balconies, he said. And then he grinned. You bought me Lego in the post. James Kelly, then Northern political editor of the Irish Independent, reports survivors saying after the devastating raid of April 1941, my God, that's Belfast finished. But it wasn't. Iris Rocks of Broome Street in West Belfast remembers everyone saying, we'll never get over this. But they, we, did, and do, and will.
On this morning's programme, we heard Mark Brennick with The End of the Lockdown, then The Black Box by Olivia O'Leary. That was followed by In Love with Anne by Gerald Dore, then Legends by John Toll, and finally, Windows Between Worlds on the Belfast Blitz by Lucy.